Good morning, Grace Bible Fellowship. We are from Edmonton. We've had this congregation in our hearts for a very long time. And my wife and I, Precious, have desired to fellowship with you guys for a very long time, but it looks like the Lord has destined it so that the one time that I show up, I'm going to be preaching. It is an honor for me to be here, guys. It's a privilege. I am so humbled to fill up Pastor Mike's pulpit. He's a man that I look up to. He's ministered greatly in my life as a young man. And I definitely cannot fit his shoes. I can't even fit his pulpit. I had to be elevated. Yeah, so for those that have their Bibles, we are going to be looking at 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17. And one thing that I want to point out as I walked in this room is, just like Grace Life, there is a lot of children in this room. So I do want to address the children in this room first and foremost. The message that I have is as applicable for you as it is for your parents. So I need you to pay attention, because the reason why you are here is because God wants you to hear this message. So it is as applicable to you as it is for your parents. Before I go into the message, let us pray. Most gracious Father, Lord, we are indeed complete in you. I pray that you may reveal yourself to us this morning as your word is preached. I pray that you may soften our hearts, that we may cast aside all distraction and have our heart and our minds focus in hearing you speak this morning. Humble my heart as I bring your word to your people here, and be glorified as we are edified. I pray all this in Christ's precious name. Amen. So my goal this morning is to encourage everyone here to take their daily time in God's word seriously and to live in humble obedience to its authority. So this message is about the Bible. It's about God's word. God's word is essential in our lives, and that should be evident in how we approach it. And to get there, as I mentioned, I want us to go in 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17. And so you guys can start flipping there. I've already given you a heads up. And this is a message that is well known. I'm sure you've heard a preaching on this message before. And I'm pretty confident that having one more, it's not going to hurt you. But if it does hurt you, then you really need to be here this morning. So let's go into the text. I will start in verse 14. Of 2 Timothy chapter 3. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the secret writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So Paul here is encouraging Timothy to persevere in God's word. That is, in the midst of great persecution that the church is living under Nero, and he's calling him to faithfulness in Christ in the midst of that persecution. In addition to persevering in God's word, Timothy had to deal with false teachers within the church as well. So there is persecution, there is false teaching, and Paul is writing to Timothy to persevere in God's word. In verse 14 and 15, Paul exhorts Timothy to continue to learn from God's word and walk accordingly, because God's word gives the wisdom that leads to salvation, and the same word will make one fully equipped and effective for ministry. And that, so now in verse 16 to 17, which is where we will be focusing this morning, Paul gives Timothy three reasons why he must continue in God's word. Those three reasons apply are also applied to us, all believers. The three reasons that we will be looking at, which is my outline for today, is applicable for the oldest person in this room, and it is also applicable for the youngest person in this room. So the first reason why we must persevere in God's word, it's because God's word is authoritative. The second reason is because God's word is practical. And the third reason, it's because God's word is essential. So let's look at God's word being authoritative. To fully grasp the authority of God's word, we must look at its origin. So in verse 16, Paul says, all scripture is inspired by God. And that is a massive declaration of the origin and the nature of God's word. The origin of scripture is best understood when the word inspired is translated into God breathed or breathed out. So though written by man, the Bible's true author is God. God revealed his will, his thoughts, and his instruction for all of us are found in the pages of scriptures. Speaking of the origin of scriptures, Peter says in 1 Peter 1, 20 to 21, but know this first of all, that no prophecy of scripture is a matter of one's interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but man moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. So scripture is God speaking directly to us using word, sentences, speeches that we can understand. And this was done through the inspired work of the Holy Spirit. So when God speaks, we must obey. Simply put, refusing to submit ourselves to God's word is refusing to put ourselves under his authority. So in my time interacting with people and my context at work and just interacting with other believers, I've heard certain objection to God's word being authoritative. Some people would say that this high view of scripture is idolatrous, that we are elevating the Bible in a place that only belongs to God. But I would say, are we not to honor and elevate God's word and instruction for us? Are we to separate his inspired word from his person and character? Are we to do that? The people who usually raise such objections against God's word, they submit themselves to thoughts that are outside of God's mind. And I want to tell you guys, those people are usually people that professes to be believers. These people are being tossed around by false teaching and worldly ideologies. Ephesians 4:14. Their authority is not, thus saith the Lord, when you say that elevating the word is idolatrous. Those people's authority consists of the passing foolish wisdom of this world, often manifested in the latest popular trend. People are influenced by that. Ethnic traditions, elevated societal norms, humanism, or simply dead religion devoid of the transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If God's word is not authoritative in your life, then something else is authoritative. We need to understand that a low view of the scriptures reveals a low view of God, who is the author of scriptures. When we neglect to read God's word, study God's word, meditate upon God's word, we are like children who cover their ears, refusing to listen to God speaking to us. At best, this shows a discrepancy in our submission to God's authority. At worst, this reveals a heart that is sold out to the things of this world. So the inconsistencies in being in God's word might not be a matter of scheduling, busyness, or just understanding the Bible because of the language and background and so on. Inconsistency in being in God's word might reveal one's problem with God's authority. When God is truly the authority in your life and your heart, you will seek his word, you will cherish his word, and obey his word. Even when obeying God's word means persecution or discomfort or separation from loved ones. Consistent submission to God's word will produce in us a fear of the Lord that brings about the conviction and courage to stand firm and walk for the faith. That's where that courage comes from, the characteristic necessary to truly walk in a manner that is worthy of Jesus Christ. If you know anyone in your life who's faithful, who has the character of Christ, who speaks with grace, who has just grown in a spiritual walk and an encouragement to you and someone to look up to, I have to tell you guys, all that is happening in this personal, daily time in God's word. So our reverence and submission to God's word is reflected in our reverence and submission to God himself, or better put, our reverence and submission to God is reflected in our reverence and submission to his word. We must prioritize our daily time in God's word. It reveals whose authority we truly submit ourselves to. So that's the first point there. Why should we be in the Bible on a daily basis? Because it's authoritative, and we must submit ourselves to God's authority on a daily basis. The second reason why we must continue in God's word is that God's word is practical. Paul says in verse 16 again, all scriptures is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. God's word is practical in accomplishing four essential things that are basic for our lives and usefulness. It teaches us, it reproves us, it corrects us, and trains us into righteousness. All believers need those three things in their lives. So let's look at those four things, four essential basic things that God's word does in our life. The first thing, it is profitable for teaching. It is through God's word that people come to the knowledge of God and salvation, Romans 10:14. The pages of scriptures contains our origin, our history, from the beginning in Genesis to the end, Revelation. It tells us about the God, who God is, his revealed will, his eternal purpose, man, sin, and the solution to sin. It tells us about our relationship with God and others and the purpose of those relationships. God's word speaks on marriage, finances, decision making, employment, and much, much more. In the context of this passage, it equips our teachers and preachers. Bible teachers are dependent on God's word and are useless if their teaching and their ministry is outside of God's word. If they are dependent on God's word, if you look up to Pastor Mike as a man of God and he's dependent on God's word, if you think that you can do it without God's word, you are deceiving yourself. Although not all are called to the office of an overseer, we are all called to be teachers in our sphere. Fathers, are you in God's word so that you can teach your family? Mothers, are you in God's word so that you can teach your children? Brothers and sisters, are you in God's word so that you can be useful to the Lord in teaching the people within the congregation? The Bible gives us the foundational and essential knowledge about our God, this world, and salvation. I acknowledge that we will continue to need the knowledge that the Bible gives us is knowledge that we will continue to need and learn on an ongoing basis, on a daily basis. A knowledge that will keep us from falling into deceitful doctrines, Ephesians 4:14. We need to be taught by God through His Word. It is necessary. It's practical. Psalm 19:7 says, "The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." The second essential and basic thing that God's Word is for us, it is profitable for reproof. We're still in verse 16, by the way. God's Word informs us of the truth and rebukes us of falsehood. It exposes false teachers and doctrines, 2 Peter 2:1-3. It exposes worldliness, 1 John 2:15-17. It exposes the dangers of being influenced by human tradition and philosophies, Colossians 2:8. God's Word warns us against the dangers of unbelief, Hebrews 3:12-13. And God's Word exposes much, much more. You might know people who professes to be believers, whose belief system cannot be reconciled with a biblical Christianity. Their politics, morals, lifestyle, and relationships are just completely out of whack. You may know people who would say that they're Christians, but you don't see anything in their life that indicates that there is any sense of Christianity in them. And that is because they are not in line with God's Word. God's Word addresses these things and equips us to confront errors with truth. So those people that you know that you're just like, man, he says that he's a Christian, but I just can't pinpoint what's happening there. Go to the Word. You will see, you will have what is necessary to even address those people. And the Bible will also convict us of our false beliefs. And it will convict us of the false influences in our lives or influencers in our lives. Social media. And even other things in the world that are seeking our attention. God's Word will reprove that. Psalm 99 says, "The judgment of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether." The third essential and basic thing that God's Word, that's necessary for us, it is profitable for correction. Where reproof has to do with exposing error, correction has to do with restoring to the right teaching. The Bible will realign us to God's will through the sound teaching in its pages. It will bring to light areas of our lives that we need to pay attention to and improve. The Bible will do that. So it's not just profitable it's not just profitable for reproofing, so addressing falsehood. It's also profitable for correcting what's in us and taking us in the right direction. It will provide answers to errors in our believing, thinking, and doing. Psalm 19:7 again says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul." It is very common to be a believer and have completely false belief systems that are generated from culture, from tradition, from background and upbringing. The Bible will address that. The Bible will address beliefs that are not biblical. It is profitable for correction. The fourth essential and basic thing that the Bible is profitable for, it's for training in righteousness. It equips us to walk in a manner that is worthy of Jesus Christ. Paul used the word training to show that growing in Christlikeness takes work. The Bible tells us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, Philippians 2:12. We need to be intentional, purposeful, careful, and consistent when it comes to growing in our holiness, putting sin to death, and continuing to grow in love and affection for Christ and His church, God's word trains us in these disciplines that are so necessary for us. In the context of this passage, God's words equips our elders and leaders to disciple us into righteousness. We can't grow in righteousness if we are not regularly exposed to God's word. They can't be useful or effective in training us in righteousness, our elders, if they are not in God's word and submissive to God's word. Now, all this, what I've said, seems to be maybe elementary, but it's really foundational to our walk with God. Our exposure to God's word is the most intentional, deliberate, volitional, manageable, and determinable thing that we can do for our sanctification. And I use a bunch of words there, but what I'm trying to say is if you want to grow in holiness, you actually can do something practical about it. Seek the Lord in His word every day. It's not left to chances, an accident, or your schedule, or any of that. You actually have the capacity to be intentional in seeking God's word on a daily basis. That is, if you want to grow in holiness. Finally, the third reason why we must continue in God's word, back in verse 17, now in verse 17 of 2 Timothy, God's word is essential. Many of us neglect to expose ourselves to His word daily. And we wonder why there are so many discrepancies and inconsistencies in our walk with the Lord and our usefulness in the body of Christ. In verse 17, Paul gives the fruits of being in God's word. It says, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped, for every good work. This verse should make us stop for a second. In the immediate context, Paul is telling Timothy that God's word will fully equip him for the work of ministry. But this also generally applies to all believers. If you are a believer, you are saved by God to be a gift from God to God's people. It is an undeniable fact that God has called believers to be a gift to the church. You are as much a believer as you are a gift to the people of God. God could have simply saved you and taken you into His presence in heaven, but He left you here for a purpose. It's not for social media, video game, work, family, and all that. Those are all good things, and some of those are bad things. The purpose why He left you here in Ephesians 2 is God to walk in good works which God prepared beforehand. And that good work is for the building and edification of the church. For Timothy, as a pastor, he was to shepherd the flock through prayer and the ministry of the word. But for those who are not pastors, there are important needs within the body of Christ that God has designed for you to meet. And we can't effectively be a blessing to God's people if His word does not abide in us. Abide in His word, in which the Spirit imparts the knowledge, wisdom, and discernment necessary to be useful in the building and edification of the body. Therefore, our daily exposure to God's word is essential for our effectiveness in serving God's people as we are God's workmen prepared to walk in works that God has prepared beforehand. Let me just tell you this, everyone here. The time that you spend in your Bible on a daily basis has a lot to do with the sanctification of everybody around you. You are a workman for God. And Christ, praying for the disciples in John 17, He said, sanctify them by your
truth. Your word is truth. We are to be sanctified by God's word. And there is no sanctification if there is no intentionality in God's word. Is everybody still here with me? Yeah. So in conclusion here, we must understand that God's word is our ultimate authority because it is breathed out by God. We must also understand that God's word is practical, practically necessary for our sanctification. It is just not, it's not just head knowledge that we're seeking. God's word is fuel for the driver. God's word is study material for the student. God's word is rain and irrigation for the farmer. That's our necessary. God's word is for us. God's word is essential for believers in their day-to-day walk with the Lord and their usefulness in His bride. If you don't long for God's word, then we may have a serious spiritual problem that you need to pay attention to. In speaking of God's word, a psalmist says that God's word is more desirable than gold. Yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the dripping of a honeycomb. Psalm 19:10. So I understand that there are challenges and inconveniences and reasons, good or bad reasons, that we can think of when considering our lack of being in God's word. But if the desire is missing, then this becomes a gospel issue. If you are here and you recognize that God's word has not brought you into submission to God's authority, that you are not learning from God's word, and that you are not being useful in the church, then you may be in danger. You may be in a dangerous state of unbelief. And I want to plead with you. You need to put your trust in Christ's finished work on the cross, not on your own self-righteous ability to do anything. Christ lived the perfect life of obedience that we could not live. He took the consequence of our sins, which we deserve. He willingly died on the cross so that those who will believe in Him wouldn't have to die on that cross. He was buried, and after 3 days in the grave, He rose, showing that He had conquered grave and His work was finished, pleasing to God. And the proper response to Christ's work is to humble ourselves before God. Recognize that you cannot survive God's judgment. Put your trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Repent from your sin. Turn away from your sins and believe in the gospel. Believe in the sweet message of salvation, the good news, and not in your own ability to walk through this life. If you are a man or a woman who wakes up every day, you wake up, you're not in God's word, you're not in prayer, you go through your day. Day two, you're not in God's, you're not in prayer, you go to your day. Who are you thanking? If you're not in God's word, you are seeing yourself as essential for walk in godliness. You're not humble. You're not putting yourself under the authority of God as the essential way, the essential path to live a life that is worthy of Christ. So if you repent, put your trust in Christ, you will be forgiven of your sins and receive eternal life. Your heart of stone will be transformed into hearts of flesh, and you will have eternal life. You will be in sweet communion with God, and will, and that communion will get even sweeter. That sweet communion that people experience when they're intentional on a daily basis, going on their knees, seeking the Lord in prayer and His word. That sweet communion will get sweeter and sweeter and sweeter into eternity. So turn away from the vain things of this life that keeps you from seeking Him. Repent and believe in the gospel, and you will be saved. If there is no desire of God's word in your life, then there might be a possibility that your heart, your soul is in danger. Believe the gospel. Trust in the Lord. It might not just be an authority problem. It might not be a scheduling problem. It might not be a timing and the busyness of life. It might just be a question of your heart. Have you been transformed? And as we learn at the beginning there, God's word has what's essential that bring to salvation. That's what Paul was telling Timothy. It is through God's word that he came to a saving knowledge of his son, Jesus Christ. And it is through God's word that he can be useful for his ministry as a preacher of the word. So now let me try to land this plane here. In and through God's word, we have been given all that we need for life and godliness. His word is a lamp for our soul. He speaks to us in his word, and it is sweet and more desirable than gold. God knows our needs, and he knows our weakness. He knows our busyness. He knows the challenges that we are facing. Christ is our high priest. He can sympathize with these real reality of just living in a busy world. But we also have the Holy Spirit. He guides us. He instructs us. He reveals the word to us. If you have been convicted of neglecting your time in God's word, then lay aside every encumbrances and the sin which is so easily entangled. Turn away. Be intentional. We must be intentional, strategic, and consistent in our daily reading of God's word. We need it. Many giants of the faith, people that we have looked to or look up to, have fallen. And they will continue. And there will be more, and there has been more. And that's a question of being watchful. It's a question of understanding that we need to be holding tight. We need to understand that we need on a daily basis our daily bread. We need to be in God's word. There is no excuses to that. It's essential for us. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit, inspiration, guidance. We thank you for your salvation. We thank you, Lord, for knowing that you're good and you're gracious. And if we sin, that you're good and faithful to forgive our sins. We thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who's our high priest and can sympathize with us and understand the challenges and the trials and the fights and the reality that sometimes just makes it harder for us to be obedient and to be consistent. But Father, that is not an excuse. We are called to walk in a manner that is worthy of your son, Jesus Christ. And so we thank you for your word. We thank you that you've given us everything that we need for life and godliness. So if there is anything that I'm praying for, Lord, is that you may continue to soften our hearts to you, that our love for you may grow, and that love for you as it grows may be reflected in our desire to hear you speak to us in your word. And so that we may make a goal, a purpose for our lives to find our satisfaction in you and not in the distractions of this world. I thank you so much for all that you are doing, and I just praise your name for what you have in store for us as we continue through this time of fellowship. I pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.